Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans as they open up training camp this week. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Nick Suss from the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Nick, let's just start on the DeAndre Hopkins front. How do you think that changes the Titans' offense? What do you make of what that could do for Ryan Tannehill heading into this season?
I mean, it makes it better. There's probably no question there. You look at the trickle-down effect, and you don't just add a number one receiver. You make your number two receiver better as that trickles down from Kyle Phillips, Traylon Burks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until your fifth receiver is probably better, and that's good. It makes everybody on the team better. But you look at what one receiver can do, it's kind of unclear how much that can change a team. I think about last year, probably three of the five best receivers in the NFL changed teams. A.J. Brown made the Eagles six wins better. Devontae Adams joined the Raiders and they got five wins worse. Tyreek Hill joined the Dolphins and they had the same record year over year. So one receiver, it's almost impossible to say, oh yeah, he's going to make a team better. Oh yeah, the team's going to get the same. Like, you don't know. One player doesn't change a team as much as we tend to think it does. But I mean, I went back and rewatched every pass that was thrown to DeAndre Hopkins last year. And look, the Cardinals half the time were just having him run a 5-yard hitch and turn around. Like, he wasn't on the same plane of usage that he was during his days in Houston. If the Titans try and recapture that, try and use him over the middle the way that they used A.J. Brown and Corey Davis a couple of years back, yeah, you could see a world where he's good for 900 to 1,000 yards and Traylon Burks can back him up with 800 or so of his own. And if you go from 2 weeks ago, we thought the Titans' top two receivers were going to account for about 1,300 yards, and now we're thinking they could account for 1,700 or 1,800 yards. That's a pretty huge change over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I enjoyed that piece, Nick, and it's interesting. As you watched that, did you think, well, that's just basically their scheme, they were misusing him, or do you think it is any sort of commentary on, you know, his own skills diminishing at all?
It's interesting because, like, I watched the plays where they let him loose, and it didn't seem like he was any less explosive. I mean, you can go back through 3 years of stats, and I think they threw him 32 passes over the middle 10 yards deep in three seasons, and that's roughly what he averaged per season in Houston. So I think it is schematic. I think that Cliff Kingsbury just didn't throw the ball over the middle all that much. And I think back to one play in his first game against the Saints where I'm sitting in our office baffled thinking, what the heck is this formation? Why is DeAndre Hopkins running a trip set tight to the line of scrimmage with two tight ends and a tackle off the line of scrimmage? Like, I don't functionally understand what they're doing here. It's not going to be that translatable, what he did last year compared to what he'll do this year. But the dude was still making one-handed catches. The dude was still able to body up somebody like Jalen Ramsey. The guy, when he was given one-on-one opportunities, took the best of them. The problem is most of his catches were he was hit immediately, and that's really tough to gauge what a receiver has when all he's doing is catching the ball and going to the ground.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Nick, given that Hopkins is now in the fold, you got Traylon Burks heading into year two, et cetera, as you've laid out there, what do you think fair expectations should be for Ryan Tannehill this year? As he'll be 35 years old, and obviously we know that they drafted Will Levis, and he could be the starter as soon as 2024. What do you expect from Tannehill there, given what's now around him on the offensive side of the ball?
You got to expect him to at least take a step back forward. If you are projecting how good this team can be, it seems like the front office and the coaches are betting that given the right supporting cast, Ryan Tannehill can be as good as he was at the very least in 2021. And if everything goes perfectly in 2019 or 2020, now it's tough to gauge how good he'll be because, again, last year's decline happened for so many different reasons. I don't think his efficiency ever went down, and that's obviously the thing that Mike Vrabel preaches the most about the passing game is you want it to be efficient. You want to take advantage of the opportunities you take, and I think that if you look at things like adjusted net yards per attempt and the efficiency metrics, I don't think his decline was as precipitous as it was made out to be. So maybe you would think that with the rejuvenated receiving core and when he's not playing on a bum ankle and when the offense isn't running the ball straight into the line of scrimmage on first and second down every play, maybe he can have this rejuvenation. But also, you never know when the cliff's going to come. Russell Wilson experienced it last year. Sometimes quarterbacks just aren't who they are as they get older. And there's a chance that you'll get better. Treylon Burks is going to be much improved. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously an upgrade over Robert Woods. You have all this stuff to help him out, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to be the one that makes the plays.
Talking to Nick Suss, Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. So, Nick, what's your read now on the Kevin Byard, you know, contract situation, how it ended up, and, you know, I guess do you look any differently now back at the previous attempt to get him to take a pay cut?
I don't think this reveals too much about KB. I think that most of us know dude wants the Titans to succeed, and it's easier to approach him and say, hey, will you restructure your contract if we're bringing in DeAndre Hopkins versus, hey, will you restructure your contract because we want money? The tangibility of this signing versus this restructure, I think, does make it a little bit more understandable that he'd be willing to say, well, yeah, I'll do it for this. And I mean, if you look at the over the cap projections for what the contract are, or contract is rather, it's not a true pay cut. There is true restructure in there. There's incentives. There are bonuses. This is much more like a way to say you're going to get your money, but we're moving it around, than it would have been a true, we're going to reduce your salary from $12 million to $8 million or whatever it would have been. But no, I look back on it and you give the team as much credit as you can for trying it. It probably wasn't the best move in the moment, but I think Byard has more or less handled it with quite a bit of grace, and now the team is trying to get better, and I think he's always going to be the person who's most on board with that.
So, Nick, as you look at the defensive side of the ball for this team, what are maybe one or two of your biggest question marks on defense as they head into camp?
I'm very interested to see who the secondary depth is, especially if Caleb Farley's on the pop list and Josh Thompson's on the non-injury or non-football injury list. You don't really have a true third safety. You have Elijah Molden, who might be able to try there. He's behind Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker, and then you have guys like Trey Avery and Shaheem Carter and some players that maybe aren't the most veteran who could maybe move over and try some safety, try some backup cornerback. I think that between Sean Murphy Bunting and Christian Fulton and Roger McCreary, and then obviously Byard and Hooker, you have a pretty solid gauge of who your five DBs are on the field. But we saw last season that the house of cards, when you lose one player in the secondary, can really, really hurt a team. And that's the, if I'm looking at a weak spot on this defense, I like what the pass rush has now that Harold Landry's coming back and Arden Key is available. I obviously like a unit that has Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and T.R. Tarr, and I think they did their best to fix the inside linebacker room, but this was a secondary that was 32nd in the NFL in passing yards allowed per game last year, and I know that so much of that relates to the way they stopped the run last year, but you can't ignore that teams threw all over them, and they fixed it by bringing in one secondary player. So I'm curious to see if the fixes to the players that were already on the roster are going to be enough.
What about kicker? Who's going to be the kicker? Do you feel like either of those guys looks to you like possibly the Titans' long-term kicker of the future?
They could. I mean, long-term kicker is such an oxymoron because of the way teams shuffle through these guys. I watched them in training camp. I know you guys were out there too. And just look, Trey Wolf looked like he had a big leg. I thought that it was impressive that he was able to kick from distance, but I've never seen him kick with a rush coming at him. And Caleb Shudak, we've only seen it the one time. I think these guys were both productive college kickers, and so much of that position is mental. So if one of them wins the job at a camp and they come out and they're 5 for 5 against the Saints, well, good for you. You're going to keep kicking until you start missing. And if you don't, there are probably a dozen veterans who have kicked in the NFL who the Titans are going to be able to try out in September and October, and they might be able to bring somebody in the next couple of weeks too. So they'll figure this position out. I can't pretend I'm some kicking expert who can tell you about the torque of the leg and the knee and all this stuff that you need, but they both looked like they were pretty good at kicking the ball into a net in May.
Okay. We'll take it at this point. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nick Suss, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So Nick, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and looking forward to getting camp started this week. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, excited for it, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Nick had to say there as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.